Welcome to another episode of Benching in the Kitchen. Today I have the pleasure to bring along a good brother in Christ. We do ministries together. We talk almost weekly, if not, you know, every other week. But I want to introduce Eric Reeves to the podcast today.
Thanks, Pablo. It's great to be able to fellowship with you anywhere, anytime.
This episode is going to be awesome just because you and I have this connection that I just can't wait for people to see and mimic, you know, find those connections with others. First of all, I want to thank you for accepting the invitation to put in aside time from your family to, you know, to do this project. So thank you so much. As this podcast is evolving, you know, I'm gaining more confidence in the Lord. But one thing that hasn't changed is a verse that I want to discuss with others so the listeners can get different perspectives from this verse.
Sure.
And that comes from Philippians 2:12. And it reads, "Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." What does that mean to you when you hear that verse?
I see reason to rejoice. And I didn't always, because the fear and trembling at the end of this verse used to mean to me more of, I need to fear punishment from the Lord if I don't obey him. And my journey with Christ in the Word has led me more to understand that there is absolute joy to be found in obedience. And it's just from, you know, it comes from a loving father saying, "Here, son, let me show you how to do it. It's going to be easier for you. You're going to understand why life is like that, and you're going to know what to do." And it just gives me such a comfort.
Thank you for that perspective. Now, I know you, but my listeners don't. Let's talk a little bit about you so they can get to know you. Tell me something about you. Where do you work? If you're married, if you have kids, and what church do you attend to?
Well, I have had the blessing of being married for over 20 years, and we've got three kids. We've got two that are at home and one that's in Chicago. And they are absolute joys to us. And my bride is an absolute joy to me as well. And if I were just blessed with those things, that would be enough to keep a smile on my face for the rest of my days on this earth. But there's so much blessing that comes through each one of them every day. And I see it, and I rejoice in it, and it just fills me. So I'm filled with gratitude for that. And I currently work at a credit union, doing, well, I guess for the short answer is helping people with investments for our members, but like commercial investments. So we do a lot of things in the financial markets. But the interesting thing about a credit union is that they are not for profit. They put people first, and they put their employees first. And so to have a part in a company that really parallels kingdom first by putting people first and how you care for people is an extreme alignment for me for the first time in my life. And so I'm delighted with, you know, my job, my work environment, my boss. It's absolutely wonderful and in alignment with how I understand the kingdom, even though all these people are not, you know, they're not professed Christians or believers of any kind. My church right now is North Coast Calvary in Carlsbad, which is a gigantic size church, but I look at it as a whole bunch of little churches that get together on Sundays to worship, because there's so much going on, so much in the way of small groups, mentoring, side ministries. I'm a part of the business ministry over there, which is an unbelievable mission for God, getting the good news of Christ into the business world at all levels. And I mean, there's high level executives that are part of that, and there's tons of entrepreneurs. It's the full spectrum. It's a wonderful thing. But the church kind of facilitates all of that stuff. And I guess the last part, which is the most important, when did my relationship with Jesus really begin? And I could go on for hours about this, and I won't in the interest of time, but on my bride's birthday in 2013, February 10th at 9 something in the morning, I was taking a shower and I was just saying a flippant prayer of gratitude, you know, thanking God for my family and, you know, and for my bride. And I mean, it was really kind of half-hearted. And all of a sudden I had a profound awareness. I didn't feel like I was alone. And I heard my own, what I thought was my own inner monologue say, "You think that's something? Wait till you see what I have planned for you." And it was just an understanding that was my inner monologue. It felt like it, sounded like it, but it wasn't something that I would say to myself, and I would not use those kind of pronouns. This was coming from somewhere else. And I got really scared. I thought, you know, some of the things that I did in my youth were coming back to haunt me, and I was having flashbacks or, you know, cracking up. You know, I've lost it. And then almost as quickly as I felt that fear, an overwhelming sense of unending acceptance and love came over me. And the voice continued in my head to my heart that said, "Guess what? It's all true. I'm real. Heaven is real. The Bible is true. And Jesus died for your sins." And I get choked up every time, because I can remember as I articulate it what the feeling was like, because it was so overwhelming. And this comfort that I had at that moment, it's like the shower melted away, and all I felt was this unconditional love, this acceptance, this forgiveness. And I didn't feel the weight of anything that I was worried about. It was just an absolute peace that cannot be put into words. And it's why I struggle after 7 years of saying this. But at that moment, my knees buckled and I started sobbing. And my wife heard me kind of go to the floor in the bathroom and came in and asked if anything was wrong. And I said, "No, everything's great. I can't wait to tell you about it." And that was the moment that I knew that everything that I had been taught through the years in church, and I was not a church person, really. I mean, I went to church when I was younger, but I would show up, be there for the roll, and, you know, even sometimes skip out early. I mean, I was just there going through the motions. But this was something that was so big that I knew that there was an infinite being out there that loved me the way that I felt, and I wanted to know everything I could about him. I wanted to know everything I could about Jesus. And having a profound confidence that the Bible is true, I wanted to know everything I can about that. And that is what started me on this part of my journey.
That is powerful. I don't get tired of hearing your story.
To have an experience like that, you feel so favored. You feel like you're the only person that God is focusing on at that moment in the universe. And yet, because of his infinite capability to love, I also have this profound understanding that he has that in store for every human being ever.
It's gonna hit someone's heart. I know it is. That's what God is. You know, right now when someone's listening, they're gonna be like, I want to be part of that family, right? And we'll welcome them.
You know, it's waiting.
Yeah, we're all waiting
with open arms. And there's all, you know, all these brothers and sisters that are waiting as well.
Yes. So let's begin talking about, tell others, hey, this is a daily workout. And it takes a feeding schedule. It takes work, you know, to remain in Him. Because we can easily, you know, deviate and forget about Him. So we have to take this moment by moment. Eric, when the first thing you do when you wake up, what is it that you do?
Well, first, if I may, I'd like to explain why I took to disciplines, if that's okay, if I could just take a moment.
Please.
Because I was, you know, I didn't decide to pursue Jesus in a personal relationship until I was 47. So I looked at my past and I looked at how long I was focusing on the world, and I figured there's an awful lot that I had conditioned myself to do on a daily basis that I had to change. And I'm a very analytical person. I'm very numbers oriented. So I started looking at studies and I read some of the scripture, and then it really sits to my heart. And one of them in, I think, 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2:10 or something like that, says, take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And I'm like, well, every thought, how many is that? And, you know, I study, how many thoughts do people have per day? And it's either, you know, depending on the study, it's 60 to 70,000 per day. And then I count the days and I do the math, and I count the years and I do the math. And I'm like, oh, that's a lot of thoughts that I have not.
Yeah, no, I get it. I was trying to do the math as you were talking. I'm just gonna give up.
You get to the point. So, but taking every thought and making it obedient to Christ, and to go back to the passage that, you know, that you read in the very beginning of this, not making our thoughts obedient to Christ because otherwise we're going to be punished. Make every thought obedient to Christ because there is joy nested in obedience. This is a father through his first son, Jesus, telling me, look, my son, there's a better way to do it. Let me show you. Let me tell you. It's through this obedience. And if you follow my commands, then you're going to understand what's going on around you better. You're going to have a greater capacity to love, and your cup is going to be filled to overflowing. And that's what living in eternity with Christ is all about. It's not just about, you know, when I die, I want to go kick it on a cloud in heaven. You know, the eternity with Christ starts the moment you say, I believe you, Jesus, that you died for me. And then it starts. And so all this wondrous blessing starts right away. And I wanted that, and I wanted it now. And I kicked myself for wasting 47 years. But God has a plan. And I have accepted those 47 years of me being just all over the place and confused and anxious. And so if I was going to attack 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day, I really was going to have to do it in a methodical, very intentional way. It was going to take a lot of disciplines. So that's why I have my disciplines. And that's why I decided, whatever it takes, I'm going to do it until I'm exhausted. And that's why I have taken my disciplines.
That's amazing and motivating as well. You know, I'm almost thinking like, what else can I do to remain obedient? You know, one of the last things I heard the pastor saying is, you know, how long are you going to keep shushing the Holy Spirit before you can't hear him anymore?
That's right.
And I was like, wow.
Well, and that goes to, you know, like, you know, when I'm in the shower and I hear a voice, it would have been very easy probably for me to say, oh, I'm imagining this, I'm just going to ignore it. And how would my life be different if I had done that? And I'm not saying that I'm anybody special, because I'm definitely not. I mean, you know, I you line me up in sinners and, you know, I've got a huge bag over on my shoulders. You know, my baggage is, it's this beautiful, you know, it's this beautiful part of obedience where, you know, being disobedient is swimming, is being a salmon swimming upstream. You tire yourself out, you try to do it your own way. And then, you know, you understand how things actually work smoothly in obedience, and there's joy. And, you know, Jesus says in another scripture, he says, you know, find rest when you are yoked with me, you know, take my yoke because it is easy, because he's going to do the heavy lifting when you're doing things side by side with Christ. He's going to do the hard parts, because the hard parts are not the physical parts. The hard parts are the physical and spiritual parts. Getting along with people, being able to assess a situation and discern where the truth is and where it's not. How much time do we waste on things that aren't true or aren't relevant? All these things come into clarity when we define our lens on life by the type of things that get us acquainted with this infinite loving Father. And the key word in there is infinite. It takes so much effort because he is infinite and we are not infinite. So how does a finite being understand an infinite being? It's just a lot of work, but there's joy in it. A lot of joy.
Do you set a time apart to read scripture, you know, pray and call others, and how important that is to you?
Yes, I do. I have a set of disciplines every day. I like to wake up really early because it's really quiet and there's less distractions for me. I set aside time immediately. I just give up the day on my knees to the Lord. And then I go into meditation for about 10 minutes and I pray my way through each step. Because my particular meditation is not a Christian meditation. It's secular, but everything that is aligned within it is consistent with scripture and in the way, you know, not the way they're presenting it, but the way I understand it. And the reason I do that is because I pray that the Lord prepares my heart as fertile ground for Holy Spirit for the next step. And that's my intention. So I'm doing my meditation to try to glorify God by preparing me to hear him. And then I've talked about this sometimes in our monthly But God meetings, but I read a book by Bob Bodine called The Two Chairs, and it was just describing a simple morning discipline of setting up a chair in front of you and taking some quiet moments with the Lord and seeing, you know, if the Lord shows up, and then if he does, what does he have to say? And I do this every morning. And I've been doing it for several years now. And at first it was really awkward, and I was sure he didn't care that I had set up a chair for him. He's like, you know, I got places to be.
Someone else is praying. Hold on, Eric.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, but I can tell you in keeping it up and believing that if I do it long enough that it will make a difference, he most definitely was showing up and I could pray to him in that quiet time. And I can't even, I've received so many answers in that quiet time. I mean, I've received answers of problems that I've had in every area of my life, work, home, relationships, friendships, you name it. I've taken to writing down a lot of it. So I journal a lot of it. I'm actually building substance for two books. And this is like, right now my two chairs is maybe like an hour, and I'll be in the two chairs and I'll be praying, but I'll also, as I'm doing that, then scripture will come to mind and I'll go to the scripture and I'll get more enrichment out of that. So it's kind of intermixed, but I'm always reading the word sometime in the morning with that stuff. And then I also go to my YouVersion Bible app, where I have some devotions that are, some of them are my own and some I do with other people online, and we make notes on each other, on each other's thoughts and share. And I'm a firm believer that fellowship is one of the very strong tenets of learning about our infinite loving Father. So as much fellowship as I can get, I need. And and so that's what I'm doing first thing in the morning. And then I started this thing about 6 months ago, which I call trust habit training, where I wanted to trust the Lord with little things and with big things. And so he just put it on my heart that when I go on my run, that I should invite him on my run, and I should be talking to him on my run. And so he knows I want to do a certain amount of mileage, and I just let him tell me, turn left here, go straight here. And it's been just an unbelievable experience, because it brings you into the present moment. Your mind is not, when we're doing things like that, we're not lamenting about the past. We're not escaping into the future, fantasizing about our future. We are in the moment. And when you're in the moment, everything kind of slows down and you recognize blessings all around you. So I recognize all the nature. I recognize people. I've run into people on my runs and stopped and been blessed by the interaction. And if I'm running by myself, then I just look around me and say, who do you want me to pray for, Lord? And I pray for people while I run. And again, this is not, I'm not any great guy for doing any of this stuff. It's the way I look at it is I had 47 years of just being a complete reprobate, to use one of my brother's terms, with my black heart, where I was looking at the world and I wasn't looking at trying to love my neighbor. And to shift that into, okay, I'm gonna love my neighbor, how do I do that? How do I keep that top of my heart so that I take those opportunities that God puts in my path? And when we look for them, he puts them in our path, left and right, everywhere. Even on your runs, even when you're sitting by yourself in front of an empty chair, doesn't matter. He puts it on your heart.
What's your favorite verse, and what's your understanding of it?
That's really hard. So 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is what God wants you to do, or something like that. And this is, again, this goes right back to what motivates me in my disciplines. I mean, when I think about, well, how do I obey, pray without ceasing? I mean, what am I going to be on my knees in a church the entire time? I mean, what does that look like? And I very quickly was able to kind of understand that we can talk to God wherever, whenever. And, you know, he prefers that there's not going to be profanity involved, but, you know, he talks to us in our language. And I've met, you know, I've met people who were wonderful Jesus-loving Christians, and there was a lot of profanity that comes out of their mouth. And it's just, you know, it's their handicap. And they're just like, yeah, I try, but, you know, God loves them just the same. Doesn't matter. So I think praying without ceasing is about picking up the habit of praying without ceasing. And giving thanks in all circumstances is about picking up the habit of giving thanks for the little blessings and the big blessings. Oh, and by the way, for all those blessings that God put in our life that we didn't recognize. Because just because we didn't detect it doesn't mean there weren't blessings there. I have a good, really strong feeling that by the time our eyes are opened and, you know, we don't have any of the encumbrances of the flesh here on earth when we're called home, we're going to see all the blessings that we missed and didn't acknowledge. But all, you know, all those things are true possibilities about how to live life here. And for someone who says you can't pray without ceasing, you can. You can be talking to God just like our inner monologue. And we're used to having an inner monologue. In fact, a lot of us are used to having a soundtrack. I usually have a song going through my head in the background as well.
You know, I tell people prayer is not this eloquent, you know, verse. I don't know how to explain it, but people think that they must say certain things. And it really isn't like that. God just wants you to talk to him. That's what, besides scripture, Eric, is there anything that you're reading, listening to, devotionals, music, movies that you're using it to feed your body and your spirit and your soul?
So this is really, I'm going to answer this truthfully.
Yeah, accurately. Of course. Please do.
But I'm uncomfortable answering it this way, and I'll explain why afterward. I know that everything that I put into my mind can have an impact on my mind. Everything I see, everything I hear. And once I decided I don't want to have the impact of the world taking residence and confirming by repetition on my heart anymore, I didn't want those things of the world impacting me. And you can't, you know, we hear a lot of times that, you know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And it's, and that is for every human being in humanity. That's not just for the believers. The only difference is that the other people who don't acknowledge it, they just don't know. And that's not to say that, you know, I'm not making any kind of religious bias or anything like that either. It's just an acknowledgement that there's, you know, that we're small and our infinite God is big. But it's really hard to look at your life and look at all the negative influences and say, well, I want to get rid of all of them. And once I started taking account of those, and again, I'm a numbers person, I did accounting. So I started counting my negative influences, and yeah, the numbers got big real fast. And I'm not talking obvious things necessarily either. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, what kind of movies I watch. Am I watching movies that are about evil? Am I watching movies that are about gossip? And I'm not, you know, I'm not making judgment on people who do, because that has been me many times. And I still will watch some movies that are about that stuff because I feel like resting or whatever, you know. Uh-huh. But as much as I can, I try to strike out everything that has a negative influence. So I listen to a lot of gospel music, because gospel music is heartfelt and it praises God, and and people let go. And I have a feeling that letting go is one of the problems that we have in our relationship with Christ, is that we don't let go to him enough. And I find that the gospel overcomes me to the point where I can let go. So it teaches me how to let go. It teaches me how to overcome the habit of not letting go. So things like that, I routinely put myself on news diets so that I don't have the influence of negative news. I guess the one exception is I do not shield myself from people because I've identified a particular person as not good for me. If there's someone that I feel bad when I'm with them or around them, I would rather pray through that with the Lord and have him fix whatever's wrong there, rather than turn my back on someone who, you know, who's a neighbor of mine on this planet. I do look at love your neighbor as love every other human being, because when God looks down at this planet, he looks at us all as neighbors of the planet. So there's no exceptions in the way of human beings who were called to love. So I don't want to turn my back on someone. But, you know, the other stuff is, we choose what we expose ourselves to. And a lot of this is, I mean, you know, there's self-help gurus. I'm a longtime student of Zig Ziglar, and he loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and is with the Lord now. But, he made an absolute career about helping people understand that the things that go into your mind affect how your thoughts are. And, you know, when you think about taking every thought and making it obedient to Christ, scriptural support for that idea.
This question is, I'll explain it to you a little bit, but, you know, once everything's done, your family, it's taken care of, there's no other need, what is the last thing that you do before you go to sleep?
Before I go to sleep, I think, coming back to the efficiency of my thoughts, I recognize that I've got 7-8 hours every night that I have downtime where my body's down, but my thoughts and my brain waves are continuing. So as I start my day, surrendering my day to the Lord, right before I go to sleep, I surrender my subconscious, because I figure, again, I've had so many years of conditioning by the world that if I'm going to get reconditioned, I need all the help I can get. I mean, you know, how do you turn a black heart not black anymore? It takes so much work. I can only imagine. And I praise God for his patience every day, because his patience with me has got to be just immense. But he answers me. I have by surrendering to my subconscious, I've brought scripture into my dreams. I've brought working out problems in a godly way, loving way, gentle way, all kinds of things. You know, when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, wow, I have the answer now. You know, I mean, answers from work, all kinds of things. Whatever's heavy on my heart, he many times talks to me during my sleep time and works it out. And again, it didn't happen at the beginning, and there's still nights when it's off. But I can tell you, by doing it more times than not, I can feel that there's a change and I can feel that I'm understanding scripture better because a scripture was on my mind. Sometimes I'll read a scripture or two before I go to sleep, because the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to watch a movie before I go to sleep, because I don't want a movie, well, at least, you know, a movie that's about something that I don't want to think about into my sleep, to enter my sleep. I want to be very intentional about that time. And we have control to a certain extent up until the point we fall asleep. And then, you know, it kind of, I think it goes on autopilot to a certain extent, but whatever we can do to, you know, to prepare that time and that space for the Lord to do whatever he wants to do. And that's what I tell him: do what you want to do. I surrender my subconscious to you. That's after I do my affirmation cards that Zig Ziglar taught me how to do.
What is one area that you're looking to surrender, and why?
The area that I surrender often and that I take back is an area of anxiety. It's related to this idea that that I grew up with, that that a man is measured by his productivity. And, you know, I think it's just something that, you know, I worked very hard from a very young age. I had at least 3 business ventures by the time I was 15, 16, and had left those ventures. They either made a little money and we stopped or whatever. But anyway, I was a serial entrepreneur as a teen. And it's really hard to shake the idea in today's society that you are not what you produce, because we're such a production-oriented society. And especially it comes in as a dad and a husband. You feel like you have to provide for the family and your kids. And a lot of times we think about that as financial provision, which is a part of it. But when we think about what's really, really important, being able to provide good guidance in life and being able to provide guidance into your family members of, you know, how they can cultivate their relationship with the Lord, not telling them what to do, but just encouraging the process that the Lord is doing in each of them in a very specific way that is meaningful to them. And then as a parent getting out of the way, or as a husband getting out of the way.
I think a lot of us are going to relate with that. You know, I know you're heavily involved in community, because we're part of one and we are a community between you and us. But how important that is to you?
So this is the interesting part, is that even though my relationship with Christ really caught fire a little over 7 years ago, I did not discover fellowship, the getting in community with other people, either in person or, you know, or on the phone, and now, you know, on Zoom sessions and things like that, until about 3 years ago. So it was actually it was probably about 6 or 8 months before I started gathering with everybody at our But God meetings on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
At our prayer breakfasts. It was really interesting. I mean, not that a whole bunch of men really, you know, look forward to getting together in a circle and, you know, talking about their feelings. However, a bunch of guys can get together over pizza and talk about, you know, some of the crap they're getting slapped around with, and troubleshoot, hey, this is what worked for me. Oh, well, maybe I should try that. And that's really what the root of a lot of this fellowship is, a lot of this community is it's like, hey, share how life is kicking you around, and, you know, do it with, you know, 10, or I guess on our breakfast now, sometimes it's, you know, 20 or 30 men that you're not going to be judged by, and you can be vulnerable to a certain point, and hey, some solutions might come out of it. And usually they do. And it's amazing. It's like, oh, you know, there was this method for learning how to work through my problems that I was just ignoring my entire life. So once I understood that, I had to have it as a part of my, my routines. So I've got, you know, for me, I have a Tuesday night Bible study that is now on Zoom, and that's just with a group of men that I've been meeting with for a couple years. And I have a Thursday morning Bible study, which is all business professionals, and it's all about you know, how we apply our faith in the business environments in which we work, and that's each one of those is just amazing, absolutely amazing. I mean, I want to record every single one and go back to them because they're so full. Because, you know, these men show up, and then Holy Spirit shows up and starts coming out of, you know, telling people what to say and what scriptures to go to and things like that. And it's so much information. It fills your heart so fast, you don't even know what to do with it. But you just come off of it just walking on clouds. And it's the same thing with our breakfasts. I used to, you know, if Keith would host us for the weekend, I would happily stay in breakfast for the weekend, except my bride and kids would be like, what have you done with our father? Yeah, and I really think, Pablo, it's it's a function of proportion. A lot of times we think, we judge ourselves and we think, well, I'm not worthy enough to pray. I'm not worthy enough to go to God. Until we understand his character and that because of the purification that human beings are afforded by Jesus going to the cross and washing our sins, the way that God looks at us is through a love lens that was created by the blood of Jesus on the cross. So God already looks at us the way he wants us to be. It's for us to step into it and become what he wants us to be. And it's to get back to proportion, I want to be less gossipy than I used to be. I want to be less lustful than I used to be. And we don't want to forget that we had those sins completely, because then it's too easy to fall into temptation. We wouldn't recognize it as sin. If I forgot about lust my entire life, like now, if I forgot about lust, that I was ever lustful, and, you know, I was single for a lot of years, and so, yeah, I built up a lot, you know, plenty of habits there like that. But yeah, and those, you know, did go into my marriage, and I've had to deal with those. But when you build up those type of habits, and then you decide I'm not going to fall into that kind of temptation, and you're presented with the temptation again, if you don't remember that it's a temptation, you might put your guard down. So I think that's why, you know, that's why we have that thorn in our side that we carry with us. It's not to torture us about what a bad person we used to be. It's to remind us, remember, that's a temptation, and you don't want to let your guard down because you've fallen to that in the past. It might be a weakness for you. Yeah. And, you know, the military talks about it, and we've talked about it sometimes in our But God group, but the military talks about on the battlefield where you have the weakest point where the enemy can get in, and it's called the avenue of approach. And it's where the enemy is going to look at the battlefield and exploit you. And the enemy of this world looks at each one of our flesh blackened hearts and tries to figure out where our individual avenue of approach is. And guess what? Guess where the attack is going to go? Right down there. Like he's bowling for a strike. Right, yep. In the weakest point, that's where we're going to be attacked. And it's confirmed again and again, because if I'm in an argument with anybody and whatever is my biggest vulnerability on that day, maybe that day I'm, you know, it's my self-confidence. What comes out of their mouth is going to attack my self-confidence. Maybe it's, I don't know my job well enough. Well, what's going to come out of their mouth is something having to do with me not knowing my job well enough. I mean, it's as if I'm wearing a big sign, you know, here's my weakness. And that's exactly where the attack goes. I don't think that's the person who's delivering it, but somehow that is being directed to hurt. So we have to be reminded of all those things so that we don't let our guard down.
I agree. I mean, you left us a lot of wisdom, Eric, but I want to ask you one last thing, one last nugget of wisdom that you can leave the listeners.
I think that the main thing is that when we're on our journey, it's really easy when we receive the feeling of Holy Spirit and the unconditional love and acceptance that comes through Christ. A lot of us, including me, have never felt any kind of favor like that. And in the Bible, in the Word, there's a lot about favor, the favor of God. And it's something that, as a human being, we struggle to understand because we understand favor as favorites. And in a family, that can mean, a parent had a favorite son or a favorite daughter, and that meant that that parent was going to give the majority of their time and attention to that son or daughter to the exclusion of the others. And because we have an infinite loving Father and a wonderful Savior and the Holy Spirit that comes to reside in us, through the elegance of that wonderful gift of all of them in our lives, we don't have to feel favor to the exclusion of anybody. Nobody's left out. Nobody has to be left out. God is absolutely wanting every single one of the people that He chose to come into existence to return to Him out of their free will and love Him and want to be with Him. And it's out of our free will choice, because love is not love if it's not out of free will. If it's forced, it's not love. It would be something else. The only way to do it is by free will choice. And I think that a lot of times we expect to see the results of some of the efforts that we do. And a lot of times when we're taking up disciplines to strengthen ourselves and our faith, we might try things for a month. We're like, well, I don't feel any different. And one of the things that I would implore people to think about is that just because you can't detect a difference doesn't mean that a difference is not occurring. And this is a big misunderstanding that I think human beings just have about existence, is that we tend to think that, we don't like change. Change is hard. Change takes effort, takes my energy. It's something I can't do well. A lot of these things are broken record things that go in our head trying to resist us from making an effort and change. But change is a part of human existence. Today, I have a different set of experience than I had yesterday. And for that matter, at this minute, I have a different set of experience than I did at the beginning of this podcast. So I have a different perspective now than any other moment in my own history. That's change. And it's happening all the time. Just like breathing, it's happening whether we like it or not. Our bodies are aging and our spirits are yearning to know God. And the more we can feed that yearning to know God, the more we're going to receive His peace, the more we're going to feel His love, and the more the weight of all these things that bog us down in the world are going to be lifted. And it's a beautiful, beautiful kingdom plane that we can live on. And the promise is right there in the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. He tells us very plainly, we can have this on earth. We just have to invite it intentionally in our lives and then make effort to recondition the habits that block us from receiving it. And that's where we just absolutely can do ourselves a favor, do the people around us a favor, if we just open up those things. And if you don't believe me, go to some gospel music, turn it up really loud, and try to imagine you're singing it and just letting go. And you'll feel it. Because that's the feeling. And it's just unbridled praise for the Father. And there's nothing better in the universe.
That was deep, Eric. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we made it to the last of the podcast. We're at the end. And the last thing I would love for you to do for us is close us out in prayer, Eric, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it would absolutely be an honor. Father God, we're so grateful to come together in your name to be able to interact, not just between Pablo and I, but with Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that as this is recorded, that whenever it's played back, whenever whatever messages come out of what we've said here today and what we've invited the Spirit to compel us to share, that it sounds new and fresh to whatever ear it lands on, Lord. Lord, we just pray that whoever might be listening be able to receive this with a childlike wonder, just in awe at your majesty, at your mercy, at your grace, and at your unparalleled love. And that it brings a profound understanding of how they want to pay it forward, of how they might be able to reflect some of your character that resides in each one of them. And Lord, I pray for Pablo and I that as we go out into our days, that the interactions that we have, that we will reflect our Savior Jesus in just a little way, just so that people will maybe feel good by the interaction, not by anything we're doing, but what you're doing through us, Lord. Use us, use this podcast in whatever way you see fit. We absolutely trust you. We trust you with our lives, with our families. We trust you with the person attached to every ear that this may land on. And we pray for each one of those people that your blessings will unfold before them in new and magnificent ways, and that they will approach your blessings with a childlike wonder and just look at what you're doing in their lives. Say, wow, can't believe that our Heavenly Father loves me this much. Lord, land that message on their hearts and let it set a fire in whatever way is profound and meaningful to them, so that they understand how much you love them, how deeply you want them to have a relationship with you, and that you ask each individual, what are you willing to do in order to foster this relationship? And that they feel compelled to do it, Lord. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, Eric, once again, thank you so much for taking the time off your day. Please, you know, give my love to your family and just have a great day, and God bless.
You too, Pablo. Give my love to your family.